Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you tonight?
Doing good, man. How's it going?
Pretty good. So getting ready for Thursday Night Football in Pittsburgh, Titans versus Steelers. It's a game and, a battle of two first-place teams, two teams that will very likely be in the playoffs. You know, it's kind of weird to say that about the Titans at this point, but I think that if they keep playing like they have been, even as ugly as with what they've got coming up, I think the Titans have a pretty good chance at this point. So, you know, like I said, I feel like I'm kind of jinxing it a little bit to say that, but it looks like that's the way that it's trending. So hopefully we'll see that continue. But up here, we were talking a little bit before we got started. The Steelers, their numbers really across the board, offense, defense, everything's really good.
Yeah, I agree with that. Maybe a potential playoff match down the road. You're talking about two teams that kind of started slow and have come on. Both have four-game winning streaks. The Steelers took down the Chiefs after getting blown away from the Jaguars, which was surprising. Because at the time, the Chiefs were, I believe, still undefeated. So they've beaten the Bengals, Lions, Colts since. So, with the Steelers, it's kind of a deal where, we've talked about this before, how inconsistent the NFL is. The Steelers are one of those teams, You talk about the Colts, how bad they are. Well, the Steelers are one of the better teams in the league. Go to Indianapolis last week and nearly lose. They were kind of sleepwalking through the first half of that game. So they're kind of a team that have historically played to the level of talent of their opponent. But with that being said, the Steelers coming home, there's a clear bump in their play when they come home. Prime time. Not a great spot for the Titans.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, that kind of reminds you of the Titans, that play into the competition. We've seen that at times with this team. In years past, though, the Titans would find ways to lose those games where, they kind of played down to their competition, games we thought they would win. They didn't find a way to win them. Even sometimes they get blown out. I mean, we saw that a few times. But the Steelers generally find a way to win those games. They have this year. And like you said, they get a big bump at home, and we were talking before we went on here, they have a weird schedule. You pointed this out. They've only played three home games to this point, so that's really weird. They got a very heavy schedule the rest of the way, and we, like you said, we know how much tougher they are up there, how much better Ben plays at home. And, that's really the key to their offense, obviously, and, his home road splits. I mean, it's one of the things, if you had a DFS like we do, that's one of the things that gets brought up every week. One of the first things you look at is where are the Steelers. If they're at home, then Ben's in consideration. Then you get to look at matchup and stuff after that. If they're on the road, you kind of write him off. A lot of people last week still took him with that weak matchup against the Colts in the Dome. They've been very friendly to all the quarterbacks they've faced so far, and he went up there and it ended up having an okay game. But it wasn't pretty. And for a lot of the especially half, I think people were, like, oh, we shouldn't have played Ben on the road, all that stuff. But, we get him up there. And it's a different deal than what the Titans have seen lately. And we've talked about this a little bit too. But, we feel good about where the Titans defense is. They've definitely come around. You feel better about the cornerbacks than you have in a long time. But at the same time, you've got to look back to that Texans game since the Titans have really seen a legitimate quarterback. So it's going to be a little bit different after coming off facing Jay Cutler, Jacoby Brissett, Deshaun Kizer started the game. The Titans played against the Browns, looking at Joe Flacco and Andy Dalton. I mean, guys that have been good those last two at times but aren't playing very well this year. Facing Ben Roethlisberger at home is a completely different answer.
Yeah, this is the one we've had circled for a long time, and it's not end all. If the Titans going to lose this game, you just want to send them put up a fight and look like they belong. Because again, this is a team that we expect, to be a factor in the playoffs, and we expect the Titans to be in the playoffs too. So they need to go out there and prove that they belong. So I think you've seen some improvements over the past 5 weeks since that Texans massacre. But again, like you were saying, it's not. The teams that they were playing aren't that great. So, you can't feel too bad about it. It's a schedule you were given. But this is the biggest test. So, I mean, we're talking about Adore Jackson squaring up Antonio Brown tomorrow night, so or tonight. So, you know, this pass rush is going to have to wake up tomorrow night, or it's going to be.
Yeah, and this is, quite honestly, this is the biggest test the Titans have the rest of the year. You know, and they had, again, they haven't had a very tough quarterback schedule this year. I mean, you saw Derek Carr in week one. Then in week four, you saw Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson back-to-back there and did okay. I mean, they beat the Seahawks. Wow, Russell Wilson got his numbers. But you know, they were able to win that game. We know what Deshaun Watson did to him. But then, you know, it's just been kind of a layoff since then. And so you get Ben, and then, you know, the rest of the year, I mean, oddly enough, the best quarterback they're going to face the rest of the way is Jared Goff, which, you know, would have been crazy to say at the beginning of the season. But, I mean, I think that's absolutely a good point because you're looking at Colts, Texans, Cardinals without Carson Palmer, obviously, 49ers, Rams, Jaguars. I mean, Jared Goff is, you know, after Ben, is the best guy they're going to see. And, you know, I mean, I think they bodes well for him. He said the pass rush has been the thing that we've been worried about, something that we've been talking about for the last few weeks. You know, it was one of the things that when we talked about the Pro Football Focus notes from the Bengals game about just how little pressure that the Titans were able to get on Andy Dalton behind a bad offensive line. And so now you go to Pittsburgh with a good offensive line. And I think that's the thing that scares me the most. I mean, you can talk about the weapons. You know, they obviously have Antonio Brown. They have Le'Veon, Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, all those guys are obviously, you know, really good players. But if you combine that with Ben being able to sit back there and just wait for those guys to run the routes and come open, it could spell disaster for this team. And that's the biggest fear. I mean, I do think the secondary is better. I think the defense is better overall. But if they're not able to come up with a way to force Ben to move around some and make him uncomfortable, he's going to be able to pick them apart. How much do you – you know, obviously Dick LeBeau was in Pittsburgh for a long time, was with Ben Roethlisberger for a long time. Do you think that gives them, the Titans, any type of advantage?
I think somewhat. You know, what Steelers are doing is some of the same stuff that LeBeau – it's the groundwork that he laid. So I think the Titans know what's coming. And I think it's important to note that Marcus Mariota is practicing against this defense every day. And he's going to be very similar. So from that standpoint, I do believe that helps somewhat. But, again, it's just been an inconsistency thing with this offense this whole time. This whole season. So, they can break out at any point. You know, we mentioned last week they should have probably scored 38 points. So it's just doing the little things. If they can do those little things and complete plays, moving the ball really shouldn't be an issue. I know this Pittsburgh defense is pretty good, but you've got to at least like the strides that this team has taken. And Cincinnati is no pushover. We talked about that last week. They had a decent group on defense. So I was encouraged with what we saw last week. They just need to finish some plays. So if they want any business winning this game in Pittsburgh, they're going to have to do those little things and finish off those touchdown drives.
Yeah, you know, Mike Mularkey pointed to some of the same things that you just said earlier in the week when he talked about, you know, a little bit of advantage to Titans. And that they do face a similar defense every day in practice. You know, obviously Pittsburgh doesn't do all of the exact same things they did when Dick LeBeau was there, but he did lay the groundwork for that foundation, like you said. You know, but they can be said for Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers offense, right? I mean, they practiced against the Steelers defense every day, so you've got. I'm not sure it might help the Titans offense, but I think you would have a similar benefit to the Steelers offense as well, which could lead to a little bit more scoring in this game than expected. I think look total real quick. Total is 44. I guess 44. It opened at 45.5. It's actually gone down to 44. You know, I think we could see an over in that number. I mean, again, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the Titans' struggles and how their offense can't get going and all that stuff. But you look at the Browns, you look at the Ravens, you look at the Bengals. Not three teams that are not very good, but their defenses are good. Now the Steelers, I think, are better. They're obviously better on offense, but I think their defense is better as well. But the thing I think that a lot of fans are forgetting in that is that those teams do have good defenses. And so, you know, while the Titans' offense has struggled, it's not like they've struggled against bad defenses. They face some good defenses. And again, they fight win in those games. So, I mean, I think you could see, you're going to see a similar defense, a little bit of an upgrade, but maybe the familiarity that the Titans' offense will have from facing it every day will actually benefit them here. And you could see them put up a better number against a better defense.
And the problem for me with this Steelers team is the front that the Titans are going to face. So, you know, you've got Cameron Hayward, you've got Tuitt, you've got Hargrave. That front is nasty, like it once was. So they've kind of reloaded there after a couple down years. You know, you've got Ryan Shazier, you've got Bud Dupree, you've now got T.J. Watt coming off the edge. So that front seven's pretty nasty for me, and I think it's going to be a frustrating night. I've seen a lot of these for the Titans this year. I think it's going to be a frustrating day on the ground. So I don't know if you've mentioned it yet, but Joe Hayden is out. So we'll see plenty of Artie Burns and Cody Sensabaugh, maybe it will revamp him, but that's certainly two guys that aren't world beaters. Those are guys that Rishard Matthews can beat, Corey Davis can beat. So I think the Titans might have a little bit of an advantage there. But again, it all goes to consistency and what Mariota's going to do. Which Mariota are we going to get? You know, we've seen some miscommunications in the passing game, but I think for the Titans to win, and I don't know if you feel this way, that they're going to have to get it done through the air.
Absolutely, and I think this could be a game where we see them. They're not going to abandon the run, obviously. We know that. That's been made painfully clear at times. But I think this could be a game where we see them go a little bit heavy, even early. Now, you don't gain that much of an advantage. I mean, if you look at DVOA numbers, the Steelers are fifth against the pass and fourth against the run. So they're really good either way. But Joe Hayden being out does make a difference. And I think with the scheme they run, they don't run a lot of man. So that they're not going to ask Cody Sensabaugh to be out there on an island covering Corey Davis, unfortunately. But at the same time, it does help with Hayden being out, who, you know, Hayden has struggled the last couple of years in Cleveland, but he's been good in Pittsburgh so far. I think that does help. But I think that's where they're going to be able to gain the most ground. And quite honestly, the Titans' offensive line has been much better at pass blocking this year than they have been at run blocking. I mean, when we get those, we talk about that email from Pro Football Focus, we get a lot every week, but it seems like week in and out, one of the things they point out about the offensive line is how much time Mario is given, how, you know, few dropbacks he's pressured on and all that kind of stuff. So I think that is going to be the best way for the Titans to be able to gain the air. And so, I mean, you know, when you look at it, I mean, even if you look at how it breaks down against the particular types of receivers, the Steelers are 11th, and these are all DVOA numbers, they're 11th against wide receiver ones, 21st against wide receiver two, first against the tight end, and 18th against the running back. So, I don't know how that plays out when you look at, if you look at like wide receiver one for this team. I mean, we think Corey Davis is the best wide receiver, the most talented wide receiver, let's say that, on this team. Rishard Matthews has the best numbers this year. And, you know, at this point, I think he's still probably the better player. Obviously, the ceiling's higher on Corey Davis. But as far as like who the Steelers would consider the wide receiver one, I'm not sure how that would break down. But it looks like they're really good at taking away that first guy. But there's going to be some places where they can get some yards. But I think it's definitely going to be through the air and on the ground.
Yeah, and just to kind of expand on your point on Corey Davis, I'll push back on that a little bit. He's been the most targeted receiver.
That's absolutely true, yeah.
So maybe he is already the wide receiver one. And you know, before he got hurt, he had the looks of that. He had the most targets, I believe, in the week one game against Oakland. So, and he was kind of taking control of that and taking training camp. So this might be a spot where you can see him have some more opportunities, where you can see him break out. I mean, that's certainly a winnable matchup against either Artie Burns or Sensabaugh, whoever it is that ends up covering him. So, I think just on pure numbers, I think Pittsburgh is 11th in yards surrendered on the ground. I think they're second, actually, in yards surrendered through the air. So, but again, no Hayden, and they've got a safety, Mitchell, that is questionable. So we'll see. A big spot that we haven't talked about is T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. Jack Conklin, Taylor Lewan are going to have their hands full. Those are two pretty good edge rushers that play a little bit of a different game. Dupree wins with speed, and Watt's just a violent player. So I'll be watching that. I'll be watching the pressure on Mariota and whether or not these receivers can kind of gain some separation quick enough.
Yeah, and the key is how well that line holds up. Like I said, I feel better about them from that standpoint because they have been much better as a pass-blocking unit this year than they have as a run-blocking unit. All right, so that's kind of how it all breaks down. And again, you know, I think that this is going to be a good measuring stick for the Titans. And I think that, you know we're going to learn a little bit about this team. And this is a tough spot, quite honestly. I mean, a short week, having to travel to Pittsburgh against a really good team. Against a team that, like we said, hasn't had very many home games. They're going to be happy to be home and have all that stuff. So here in just a second, we'll talk about kind of what this game means for the rest of the season going forward and kind of the impressions that we can get and maybe some stuff we can take away that's due to lose. Okay, so, you know, let's step back for a second and look at this, all right? The Titans are 6-3. Tied for leading the AFC South. You know, they have the tiebreaker currently. The Jaguars are also 6-3. The Titans beat them. You know, this is the toughest remaining game that the Titans have. Probably the only game remaining that they'll be an underdog in. Again, assuming Mark stays healthy, we'll kind of put that caveat out up front because if he gets hurt, then you know all this goes out the window. The only game remaining that'll be even probably close as far as the spread goes is that Rams game, but even the Titans because it's in Nashville instead of being out there. So, you know, this is a game that it would be really nice for them to win. You know, and it's kind of, you know, just gravy really if they win. But the biggest thing for me that I want to see here is for them to go up there and be competitive. Not have something happen like it did in the Texans game earlier in the year. Go up there and prove that they are in that upper echelon of AFC teams. Because I think right now you would have to say that the Steelers are kind of at the head of the class there. I don't think the Steelers have played up to their capability, to their potential to this point. But I think when you step back and look at it, and the Chiefs too to some extent, I mean, they started off really hot. They've kind of come back to the pack a little bit. But I think they've got a lot of talent there as well. But I really think the most important thing here is for the Titans to go up there and have a good showing. Of course, we want to see them win. That would be great. But it's not the end of the world if they go up there and end up losing a close game.
Totally. After this game, you've got four straight should-be wins. Two of them are on the West Coast. So, you know, things can get interesting there anytime you travel. Anytime you're away from home, and you know the Titans have a tendency to make games against lesser opponents more interesting than they have to be. So, but yeah, it's a prove you belong, prove that you've got a chance in the playoff picture to advance in January game for me. So, like you were saying, not the end of the world, but it's kind of funny, you know, fans have been upset with how the Titans have looked in these wins, but I think everybody would happily take a competitive matchup here where they look like they belong and kind of have a chance to win at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you think about it, I mean, you know, obviously we're Titans fans, so part of our analysis is always going to be slanted that way a little bit. But would you be surprised if they ran after this game?
Just knowing this team, yes, I would.
Right.
I just have a feeling in the back of my mind that all right, well, that game against San Francisco, you know, it's a little scary. That game against the Cardinals, you know, anytime you go out west, like I was saying, it's a little scary. And the Titans, like the Bears game last year, that's the game I always point to. You know, the Titans are rolling last year; they're on that big win streak, and they almost lose to Matt Barkley. So, any given Sunday, this team just hasn't proven that it's sharp enough week out to not slip up.
Yeah, okay, so that's true. So you wouldn't be surprised. You wouldn't be shocked, maybe, but you would be surprised. And like you said, just from the standpoint of, you know, that's six games, and you know how many six-game winning streaks do you see in the NFL?
Right.
You know, that's not something that happens that often. But like we said, they'll be favored probably in all of those games. So, you know, I don't think that 12-4 for this team is completely out of the question. I think especially if they're able to pull off a win against the Steelers, I think at that point you could make it even a somewhat strong possibility, because then you could even slip up in one of these games and still get there. But even with that being said, I'd be surprised if they lost more than two of the games after the Steelers game. So even if they lose to the Steelers, that puts them at 6-4. You know, if you lose two more, which I think one is probably more realistic that they might lose, again, assuming, you know, Marcus is healthy, 10-6, even if you slip up one more time, I think that'll be good enough to get in the playoffs for sure. I think that would be good enough to win the division. You know, again, we look at who the Jaguars have. They're going to end up with a really strong record. I mean, I would be surprised if they ended up with any less than 10 wins. And the funny thing is, you know, we had the guy, Ryan Day, I think, remember from Big Cat Country before we came over here on our old podcast. And, you know, we laughed at him when he said the Jaguars are going to win 10 games. Not that after he got off. But anyway, you know, but now that looks like a very real possibility because of, you know, just how good their defense is, quite frankly, because Blake Bortles is still terrible. But, you know, so, I mean, I think the AFC South is going to come right down to the wire. Just because I think both of these teams are going to win a lot of games down the stretch. And so that game here on New Year's Eve could be for the division title. That would be fun. But hopefully it's not a play-in to the playoff game. Because I do think the Titans and Jaguars are both going to make the playoffs at this point. Now, again, there's a lot of seasons still left to be played. Anything can happen. But, you know, I'm really happy with where this team is. And all of that to say that even if they lose tomorrow, I think we still – should be happy with where this team is, as long as it's not just a complete, you know, thrashing like the Texans game was.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit more guarded. They'll be favored in all these games, but when was the last time the Titans won up in Indy? I don't remember.
Never.
Yeah, I'm not sure I remember winning a game up there. So, and, you know, it's Jacoby Brissett, and the Colts are bad, but the Colts hung in that game and really were just a few plays away from winning it. I mean, it took the score didn't really reflect it at the end of the day, but you know, the Colts hung in for most of that game. So I think it's kind of important not to write off games as easy wins, because that's just not the NFL. But again, it's a game that you should win. So yeah, you lose this one. The next one that you might could lose is the Rams, and then the next one you might could lose is the Jaguars. So you're talking about what we believe is an absolute floor of 10-6. So that's, you know, that's right where we thought they'd be. That's what I predicted before the season. So absolutely, I would take that. I think you're seeing the positive steps forward, especially out of the. You know, we'll see if the offense can get there. But yeah, I'm happy with where this team is at. I might not be as confident as everybody else.
Fun fact: Titans have never won at Oil Stadium. I didn't realize that. The last win in Indy was the late December game in 2007 at the RCA Dome. Which actually, I guess, was probably the last game RCA done.
Didn't Orlovsky beat us there? Something like that?
Yes. I think that was Lucas Oil Stadium, but yes, he absolutely did. That was the year they won one game. It was against the Titans.
That's great.
And I think that game, was it 2007? That was the second year. So that was the year the Titans went to the playoffs, and they had to win that game to get in.
Yeah.
They were a wild card because they lost in San Diego the next week, and the Colts sat their starters. So
yeah, they played him for one drive and then sat him. Yeah.
So that was the Titans won 16-10 in that game. And then the last time they won at Indy before that was in 2002. So since 2002, the Titans have won twice in Indianapolis. That's pretty staggeringly crazy. And really terrible if you break that down. Anyway, that's kind of off the subject here. But yeah, so I mean, I think, like I said, this is a game that I think is a good measuring stick for the Titans. And you know, again, a win is great, that's obviously what we're hoping for. But a good loss, and again, I told you before we started, I feel like a Vanderbilt fan saying this, but a good loss is not the end of the world. And I think that it's still the Titans are still in a very good position to do the things that they wanted to do. Anything else we need to hit on the Steelers before we get out of here?
Nope.
So that'll do it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night after the have a Steelers game with a reaction. Like I said, I think it's going to be a fun game. I think that I really do think that it's going to go over. I think you're going to see more scoring than some people expect. So it should be a fun game to watch. And again, it's going to give us a good idea of where the Titans are. So hopefully they can go up there and come out with a win. And we'll have that to talk about. We've talked about four straight, so maybe we can get one more. So for Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening, Falls. I'm at JMorphMCM. Terry is at TLambertFB. And we'll have a lot more on this game tomorrow, MutinCityMiracles.com, leading up to it, and then reaction afterwards. So for Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.